Hi, guys, and welcome to the Dead by Tomorrow podcast. My name is Daniel Winter, and my co-host is Andrew Monroe. In each episode, Andrew and I will explore topics that you should think about before you die. We encourage you to remember that some tomorrow will be your last, so each day could be your final chance to really live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Dead by Tomorrow. We are thrilled to have you. It is a new year. And that means Daniel and I are going to be changing this podcast up a little bit this year to try a little bit of a new format. What we're going to be doing, starting with this episode, is we're going to be doing some challenges. And how that'll work is we're going to come up with a challenge for ourselves, similar to the challenges we put forth at the end of our episodes that we've been doing up until this point. And that challenge is going to be on a little bit more macro scale. And then we're going to focus on 30 days. So we will announce a challenge in the episode. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about how we want to go about this challenge, how we're going to accomplish it, the research we're going to do, all the little details that go with why, what, when, where, you know, like a murder mystery, but, you know, for self-improvement. So we're going to try that out. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. We'd love for you guys to join us on this challenge and all the ones coming forward this year. We'll still do some interviews. We'll try and have them a little more specific to the challenges we're doing, but we'll still have some new and exciting guests on this year. And you might see a few less episodes than you might be used to. Not a lot less, but we'll probably be doing a fewer episodes so we can come back each episode with a better handle on how the challenge went, what we would have done differently, and kind of do a recap of the previous challenge before we jump into the next one. So we're going to be kind of aiming for a challenge per month. And then there might be an episode between each of those where we kind of do a update if we've changed anything, if anything really went sideways, and hopefully maybe an interview mixed in there on those updates with somebody that is maybe related to the challenge in some form or fashion. So with all that said, we're excited to bring you guys on. We're excited to see where this takes us. And Daniel, anything else you want to add?
No, I'm definitely looking forward to this. I think it could be hopefully something that we look back on throughout the course of the year and really actually chart some growth. We've been doing a lot of talking over the past, however long we've done this podcast, a year, really our whole lives, a lot of talking. but I'm excited to put pen to paper, so to speak, on a few different items and hopefully, you know, be able to have some data that shows actual value to some of the things that we're trying out. And yeah, like Andrew said, really hope to have some people join in with us on challenges, whether it's just texting us on things, whether it's on a more official capacity. You know, we'll figure that out as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Check the show notes. We'll probably have a link to at least track Daniel and I's progress, depending on what we come up with, which is part of what we're going to be talking about here. So let's jump into what this first challenge is. This one's going to be, I guess you can say, my fault. I was listening over Christmas to something I don't even remember at this point, and they were talking about Finland being the happiest place in the world, or at least had the happiest people in the world. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. Told Daniel about it. And I was like, yo, the Finnish are the happiest people. Let's make that the first challenge. Let's live like the Finnish. Now, that said, we're not just going to move to Finland and go be Finnish. I dug into it a little bit more. And what we're going to try and do is emulate some of the things that the, so to say, Scandinavian people do that makes them different, that sets them apart from at least Daniel and I and our American Texan selves. So this challenge, we're looking at basically combating that seasonal affective disorder. That's kind of what inspired this. It's something that affects me almost every year, probably every year to some capacity. Sometimes it's a lot worse. Sometimes it's not as bad. You know, I have that seasonal affective depression every year to an extent. And strangely enough, we just yesterday was Blue Monday. So for those of you guys listening, you know, this episode is probably going to come out a little bit after that, but the saddest day of the year, the most depressing day of the year was yesterday, Monday, the 16th. The 17th. Monday, the 17th was Blue Monday, and it's supposedly the saddest day of the year. So this is not something that just affects me. It's not something that just affects Daniel, who also suffers from this problem. It affects a lot of people. There's a whole thing with it. So hopefully this challenge helps us pursue happiness a little bit better. Helps us fight that seasonal depression that comes along, gives us something to work on that specifically helps increase not necessarily happiness, but our satisfaction and the joy we feel, and kind of pushes away some of that darkness, lights away for us in these harder to manage months. So, excuse me, I'm still coming, still getting a little better off of getting whatever got me at New Year's. So that's what we're going to be trying. We're hopefully going to fight some seasonal affective disorder, depression. I'm butchering that still, which you think I have down by this time. We will update you guys in about a month. So 30 days from the release of this episode, we'll have another episode out to let you know how it did. Hopefully we'll have a little update in between those, letting you know how we're doing. And with that said, let's go ahead and jump into how we're going to do this challenge, what it's going to involve with, and everything like that. So Daniel, I know you did a little research on your own and you're going to be doing things a little differently than I am. Let's start with you.
Sure. So it's funny that we started with the Finnish people. I remember back in high school, there was a world geography class that we had together. It was actually taught by Mrs. Monroe, no relation to you, to my knowledge.
Not as far as I know either. But she was fun.
She was fun. And we did a project in that class that I thought was really, really cool, where you essentially just picked, I don't know if we drew it from a hat or if we got to actually choose it, but we each needed to study a different country and come and talk about some of their way of life and also prepare a dish from that country. And I had Finland. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Finns and their fruit cookies that I probably butchered when I made them, but I thought they were great. So that was exciting. But then you decided to name the episode Pursuit of Happiness. We'll see if it sticks. That oddly enough is one of the only movies that I've ever walked out of in my life. So I'm having mixed feelings about all of this right now is what I'm, is what I'm trying to get at.
That's funny. So strangely enough, I don't remember you doing this Finnish thing in Miss Monroe's class. Honestly, I don't remember much from high school. I was talking to my mom about this earlier today, and I fried my memory that first year of college with so little sleep. And there's just things that was my example. I was like, you know, Daniel mentioned stuff from high school and I know I was there for it and it totally sounds plausible. And I just don't remember it. I don't remember that project at all. Obviously, I was in that class. I remember the projector stuff. We've had stories about that class. Don't remember anything about that. So that said, I do have a thing for the Finnish region as well, outside of this happiness index that they seem to keep winning. One of my favorite words is sisu, and I'm probably butchering it because I'm not Finnish, and I actually do know some Finnish people. I should go reach out to them. But it's one of my favorite words. And it's this whole conglomeration about strength of will, determination, perseverance, and I think it's acting rationally in the face of like an enemy or something like that. It's like sustained courage. Freaking love that word. And on top of that, some of the Finnish people I have met, the ones I was saying I should probably reach out to, are some of the most whip smart, most interesting people I know. And they're not millionaires, they're not anything like that, which is actually another thing that came up in the research for this. Finnish people and Scandinavian people in general kind of look down if you're rich. Like if you are above and beyond wealthy, they look at you like, what's wrong with you? Like why are you so greedy? You have more than enough. You should not be pursuing wealth to this extent, and it's one of the reasons that they're happy, supposedly. But anyways, these Finnish people all speak like 7 languages. They're all just incredible people. So I also have like a thing for the Finnish, I guess you could say. And it just so happened that this article came up and spun this whole challenge, you know, possibly out of control. So this will be interesting. Sorry, I derailed you there. What are you going to be doing for the next 30 days to maybe not necessarily pursue happiness? Because I, you know, don't want to step on Will Smith's toes here, but how are you going to change your mindset and do something that makes you uncomfortable that hopefully brings you more light in what is considered kind of a dark month?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do a lot of things that make me uncomfortable. That doesn't sound very happy to me, but there are a handful of things that I want to do, and really it's things that I already do to some extent, but I just want to make sure that I'm more intentional about a lot of these things. And as far as, you know, seasonal affective disorder, it's certainly something that I've struggled with in the past. I haven't as much lately, and I do think what I want to do is kind of build on some of the success that I've seen. So, one thing that I will continue to do that gets a little bit more challenging when it's colder outside is just maintaining exercise. That's something we've talked about plenty of times in the past, but, there's just that chemical benefit to it. There's that sense of accomplishment, that comes with that, getting your blood up. So that's an easy one that I intend to do throughout the next 30 days and have accountability around that to help make sure that that does happen. Another thing that I want to lean a little bit into, because of just for me personally, a lot of the guiding principle, a lot of the compass on where I make decisions and kind of where I seek wisdom is in the Bible, the Christian Bible. So I'm going to take some time to just see what is in Proverbs and what is in some of the different scriptures talking about contentment, happiness, joyfulness, these types of things, and see where I can better plug some of that stuff in and observe that. And then the last, you know, super intentional thing that I intend to do is practice the art of hygge. So this is going to lean into that whole Scandinavian Finnish theme that we have going. So I don't remember if it's Scandinavian as a whole, if it's just Norwegian. I'll have to look some of that up. I'll report back in the next episode. But Hillary and my sister Beth have recently gotten pretty into this idea of hygge, which is just, it kind of boils down to living comfortably. And so it's doing things like setting time aside to play board games with friends while you have a nice cozy foot slippers on and you're drinking a warm drink and you have candles. And it's just kind of creating this really cozy type of environment. And there's this book that Hillary got, I think, for Christmas a year or two ago. I've never read a page of it, but I'm going to each week, each day, just kind of depending on how big some of the concepts are, I'm going to dive in and read through the book and try to implement some of the art of hygge. So those are some of the things that I intend to put into practice.
That, excuse me again, geez, every time I try and talk lately, I'm just dying over here with this cough. That's really cool, because I've never heard of that. I looked it up real quick while you were talking about it. Apparently it's Danish, which technically means they're from Denmark. But always in my head, like, Danish and Dutch are pretty interchangeable. So it's right up there. I mean, like, we're talking about half of Texas, I think, in terms of geography covered. So that's like, I don't know. I guess they have mountain ranges, and there are some geographical boundaries that make things more difficult than driving from Amarillo to Dallas. But I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm a different culture than somebody that lives in Austin necessarily. So I think it's safe for us to lump the Scandinavians and the Danish and the Dutch and all them, at least from our very limited Texan view, together for the sake of this challenge. And I have some really good friends that are actually Dutch, you know, from the Netherlands. And if they're listening, I'm sorry if that was incredibly offensive and uneducated. Please reach out to me and let me know what I said wrong and how to correct it next time. So sorry about that. But that's cool. I've never heard of it. You're going to have to let me know how that goes whenever we do our catch up on this, because I love the idea of focusing on being cozy and happy as like a mental health skill, because I suck at that. Like, I was sick, like I said, like 2 weeks ago. I was just sick as a dog, and I cleaned things. I couldn't not sit, like, I couldn't just sit there. So I had my laptop, tried to work from home, and in between stuff, because I couldn't think straight, I just got up and like organized things, and I couldn't just sit there and be sick and whatnot. It's a problem. Like, I know it sounds funny, but like, legitimately, it is a issue I have where I can't sit back and just chill and enjoy a board game night or just watch a movie and be happy about it. So, man, I might have to steal some of that from you.
Yeah, by all means. I'm sure there'll be some concepts that you'll go through that I'll want to mm-hmm. steal. So leading into that, what are some of the things that you plan to try out, some of the methods you want to use, some of the research you're doing?
Well, what a surprising question, Daniel. Obviously, I was hoping to talk about it. So whenever I was reading this article, the first thing that, and I need to find the article that I read since I've referenced it, we'll try and get in the show notes. And if it's not there, I'm sorry. It really was just Andrew surfing the web, probably late at night or something. But what came out of it was there was a argument that they were happier because they, as in the Finnish, were happier because they have more outdoor time and they have more cold exposure, specifically like ice water cold exposure, but in general, cold exposure counted in this very short article about why the Finnish might be scoring higher on this happiness index than the rest of us. So I took that, and that's something that I really dig because I strangely enough did this little 12-month program. I guess it was 2020, a little bit between 2020 and 2021, which did something like what we're doing right now. And I thought it was really, really good where you took kind of a concept and each month they'd send you this concept and some tools to follow it through. And it's called Made For, if anybody's interested in it. It's really good. It's kind of annoyingly expensive, but I really enjoyed it. It's this cool little 12-step challenge program to try and do exactly what we're doing here, but it's just Daniel and I. So anyways, one of the things in there they talked about was breathing, which goes with the ice bath, and forest bathing, which is this Japanese concept where you go out and walk around outdoors. So I'm saying all that because there are a couple different things that I have picked up in the past that have really, really strong arguments for kind of rewiring how your brain does a lot of different things, including happiness, sadness, depression, all the different ways it kind of perceives the world. And one of the big factors was being outdoors, getting sunlight, and being in nature does this thing to your body where your body craves being outside. And it's something I don't really understand, but I trust the science on it that basically says the more time you spend outside, the happier you are both physically and mentally. When I say happier physically, your body responds physically to being outdoors without any conscious effort on your part in a more positive manner. And the same with your mind. Your mind is just, it releases serotonin, dopamine, all the stuff you need to feel happy. So the being outdoors was a big thing. It was a big thing in the article. So I'm going to be trying to go on more walks outside. It's cold right now, so that helps with the cold exposure. We'll get to that in a second. But I'll be focused on doing a lot of outdoor walks and trying to see if that helps. So let's call that part one. Part two will be the cold exposure. I'm going to be trying to do, not necessarily daily, I'll probably try and take cold showers every day. But I'm going to be trying to do at least every week some actual ice bath cold exposure. You know, 3 minutes or so in an ice bath on Saturdays will probably be my goal. If it goes really well, I might try and, you know, go an extra day a week. That in itself is going to be interesting because I've tried that in the past and it really is not fun. I do know that whenever I've done it in the past, it's pretty chill. Like, after you get out, you really feel energized, and I think it will help with any seasonal issues I'm having. So that's number two. And then the third one goes kind of hand in hand with the first two, which is dopamine. And there's some good arguments that the first two things I'm talking about help mess with your dopamine. And I've read a bunch of books on dopamine just because they happen. You know, once you read one, the algorithm on Amazon finds out and it sends you another one. You listen to one podcast, hits you with another. It's a really interesting molecule that runs around our body. It has some drastic effects on how we function in life. And one of the things that causes dissatisfaction or causes, let's say, depression, and not necessarily depression, but like causes feelings of inadequacy or unhappiness, is when your dopamine gets kind of unbalanced. If you're not getting dopamine hits or the anticipation of dopamine, basically, it's not even actually triggering dopamine. It's the things you do that make you anticipate having dopamine. Those kind of things we're skewing too much. We are not getting them where we probably should be. So our phones are, you know, the text messages is why we send all these text messages. It's why we love social media. These things give us these artificial, maybe not artificial, but these not as productive hits of dopamine, because it's this easy, quick slot machine style way to get dopamine. And what that does is it takes away from our more fulfilling dopamine hits. The things like reading a book or going on a walk or doing the ice bath, doing hard, difficult, challenging things and finishing them. That also provides dopamine, but it doesn't provide it in the same way that some of these easier slot machine methods give us. So what I'm going to also be doing along with the ice baths and the outdoor walks is I'm going to be trying to do dopamine. Dopamine resets, where I try and fix my dopamine sensitivity by getting rid of my phone on a Sunday and, you know, being bored, focusing on being bored and doing all that kind of stuff where I'm not getting the slot machine style dopamine hits and resetting my dopamine needs. So hopefully that pairs well with the ice baths and the cold exposure and the outdoor walks. And I know that's a lot to take in. I'm also going to be reading at least two books. One of them is I'm a Strange Loop. I think it was in our newsletter, actually, the most recent newsletter. One of my friends sent it to me. And it's kind of how your mind works about consciousness. It's a little philosophy book. I'm hoping to find some insight related to why my mind works the way it does to go along with it. And then I'll also be probably reading Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday. I don't know, again, if that's going to necessarily impact this challenge, but I'm hoping to read the book through the lens of what we're doing here. So I hope that covers everything. It'll be a, you know, daily walks, weekly ice baths, and weekly dopamine purges, I guess you could call it. So we'll see what happens. Read some books and fingers crossed it goes well.
So I might have lied. I don't know if I'm going to actually join and use your methods. You kind of lost me at cold bathing. I hate it so very much. There, we've done a handful of obstacle course races, and the Savage Race in particular has a section where you have to do an ice dunk, and I legitimately thought about just quitting the race instead of going through it. And it was towards the end. It would have been like a huge sunk cost sort of deal. So kills me.
I didn't realize you didn't like ice bathing, cold water exposure that much, because in high school we would, we'll leave it to the audience to decide what fashion, but the two of us would take very, very cold showers almost every day together. And it was not fun, but I mean, we did it for like seriously, like whatever the length of time it was that we were on the JV team for tennis every morning.
Yeah.
No matter what the weather was outside.
I mean, we did it, and there were two big drivers on that. One was that we're really sweaty and gross because Coach Mayhew's philosophy was we might not be as good at tennis as varsity, but we're going to be in better shape. And so JV tennis was like a third period class or something like that. So you go from being sweaty and gross in tennis to having to interact with the rest of the world. And I liked girls and didn't want to be sweaty and gross. So that was a strong motivating factor. There was also the motivating factor of being a high school boy and, you know, feeling like anything that was tough and challenging was more worth pursuing. And then I guess it was also the factor that I wasn't afraid of being naked, which I think that was probably most of the other boys. They were afraid of being naked.
They were terrified of nudity. Maybe we missed the boat on something, but yeah. So it always comes back to girls. Everything we did or everything I did, girls.
Yeah. So it wasn't that I particularly enjoyed being in the freezing cold water. It's just that there were other factors that pushed me to do it. So I've done cold plunges and things like that. But now that I'm 30, I recognize, hey, I actually hate this and I'm going to actively avoid it unless I have to do it.
I just assumed, I guess what I was getting at was I would have thought that it would have built up some kind of tolerance, like immersion therapy, but I guess not. I guess it was the opposite.
No, I think my body fat percentage is just too low. I think my circulation is too poor. I was at a Frisbee tryout this past weekend, and in Dallas on Saturday, I think the high was like 30 something degrees, and it was incredibly windy. So the wind chill brought it down to like 15, 20. And I was outside trying to play Frisbee for about 5 hours, and I hated it. I hated it so much. My hands hurt, and they continued to hurt all the way until the next day because of how cold they were. And yeah, there's nothing I like about the cold. It does not make me happy.
Well, I guess the ice baths are out for you on this, and unless they really work for me, I'll try and convince you to do them. What about the dopamine resistance attempt or the outdoor walks?
I'm all for outdoor walks. That kind of fits in with some of the happiness motif. And then I think just getting out into the sun, or sorry, not happiness, exercise, obviously it fits with happiness. Exercise and getting out in the sun. I aspire to take Jake the dog out for walks more often, so I can get on board with that. Yeah, the dopamine resistance I think is wise as well. I do think that we kind of short circuit ourselves a little bit there. We kind of burn ourselves out. There is this concept of something called pleasure stacking that I think is really intriguing. It's from a podcast, I believe it's called Fight, Hustle, and Hurry. It's kind of anti-hustle, anti-hurry, anti-worry, all that sort of thing. And they are talking about the idea of taking Sabbaths, so taking a day where you really recharge, you rest, you relax. It's obviously a biblical concept, Jewish concept. And part of that isn't necessarily to just sit around and do nothing all day. These guys talk about how they try to save some of their favorite meals or favorite activities, or really just, you know, make it a day that is full of enjoyable types of things, and stacking those together, and how there can be some benefit to that. So I think it's, instead of just constantly indulging yourself in all of these little cheap dopamine hits, like really build up to something that you look forward to and something that's really momentous. I mean, that's when we get excited about vacation, because we plan for it and you have all of this awesome moment. You just got to be careful about the drop that comes afterwards.
So two parts. One, the pleasure stacking sounds really cool because excuse me again, I really think that's important on kind of getting that dopamine resistance going, or fixing that dopamine issue, because it's easy. It's easy to be like, hey, let's just order pizza, watch Netflix. That is not as satisfying as making your favorite meal. I love that idea. Like, go and make this big, exciting meal. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes planning. But the payoff, I think, is more satisfying. But we'll call it for your soul. We're working on our souls this month, and you want to feed the soul, and doing something like that, making a meal with someone, specifically a relationship, like you can do it by yourself. But one of the important things that actually came up with the finish was one of their key components is having healthy, secure relationships with people that they can rely on and share with. So having somebody to, you know, make that meal with and sharing in that experience is, I think, really important. So that is totally something I'm going to steal, even though that didn't come up in our methods that we're going to be pursuing. I'm going to try and do that. Oh, sorry. The other part with that. Wow. I completely blanked on it. I was really excited about two different things there. We'll just skip past it. If I come up with it, I'll try and get back to you. But I was just really thinking of Lord of the Rings style meals, and you know, that's just fun because it's not something I do anymore.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, happiness is a pretty subjective thing. So part of the whole point of our challenge is being able to demonstrate some results, being able to show, you know, is Andrew's cold bathing actually doing anything beneficial? So how are we going to actually determine impact when it comes to this challenge?
So in complete transparency, this is not something I have built out yet. So it could change by the time we get this episode out to you guys. But my plan that I'm hoping Daniel goes along with to measure this is basically a really short 30-day journal where we say, hey, you know, here's how I'm feeling. This is my mood today. This is what I woke up feeling. This is how I am looking at the day. This is how I looked at the week. You know, like for me personally, I would have not marked today as a very good day. I was really not excited to get out of bed. I laid in bed wishing I could just go stay asleep and not have to get up. And it took me probably 15 minutes to drag myself out of bed and convince myself to go and start the day. So something like that, I would put like, hey, this was not a good day. And I'd probably, you know, 10, 15 point scale today. I'm going to rate getting out of bed like as a 3. Along with that, we'll obviously not have a single checklist journal where it's like, hey, today was a good day, today was a bad day. I kind of want us to have it'll probably be a Google sheet that you can follow along with that will show, you know, we rated today as XYZ. Here's some of the stressors that were today and, you know, another column. And we'll have a bunch of different things that hopefully we can turn into a formula that builds our own happiness index. And we'll reference the actual happiness index and try and get some of that going. We'll have a different little point system that hopefully we can track a trend that basically starts tomorrow and says, hey, this is how you feel tomorrow. And if we can see a steady upward trend for either one of us or both of us, hopefully, that'll give us an indicator of, you know, what changed paired with tracking if we're following through the methods. You know, if Daniel tracks upward the whole time, but he never jumps into the Bible and he doesn't do any of his methods, well, sure, he might be happier, but that didn't really prove anything. But if we can show that he did everything he was wanting to do, but he tracked downwards in terms of happiness, then obviously it was a bust. But really, my personal theory on this is the fact that we're going to try and that we're going to measure will just automatically increase, you know, our good feelings. And maybe that's optimistic of me, but I have the idea that just being mindful about it in general and working towards improvement will itself end in the results we want. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're both going to be even sadder. I do hate February with an undying passion. It is my least favorite month and going into it is tough. So I could be wrong, but I think that's how we're going to measure this. Does that make sense to you, Daniel? Is that what you're feeling, or do you have a different way you want to measure on your end?
No, I think that makes sense. I think doing basically a daily check-in survey, commenting on the different areas that we've said we want to improve, or the things that we want to do that we think is going to have an impact. The only other thing that I want to try to find a way to incorporate is a third party opinion. So that may be just asking Hillary to comment on, you know, how my mood seemed throughout the day or different things like that. Cause I could be tempted to be like, yeah, I was pretty happy. And she's like, what are you talking about? You didn't smile the entire day. So
bro, you were a sour butt.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. So I think that's something we can share, is what our different trackers look like. And then I know at the beginning of the episode, you talked about, as far as check-ins, what we want to do. So our goal is to basically halfway through, circle back and talk about how things are going, what the tracker is sort of looked like, if we've been able to stick with our chosen methods, what some of those initial results are. Maybe we'll have a guest, maybe not. And then our last episode will be, you know, sometime kind of towards the middle end of February. We'll close it out. We'll see how it went and roll right into whatever our next challenge is.
Excellent. Well, guys, I hope y'all are excited about this, because I know I am. And I'm planning on beating Daniel. I'm going to be far happier than he is come February. So let's get this going. Well, guys, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Check the show notes. If you want to follow along with this challenge, we'll have links for you to, you know, see our trackers, to do some research of your own, links to the books we've talked about, some of the articles we've talked about. We really want this to be a little bit more value packed where you can kind of spin off on your own with this. So definitely check out the show notes if you want to jump in or if any of this was interesting to you. And we'll check in with you hopefully in about 15 days. And we'll have an update for you then. And otherwise, if you don't care about the update, we'll see you in about 30 days with the final results of this challenge. Challenge number one for our Dead by Tomorrow challenge series. So thank you guys for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you soon.